When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here at the Ranger Report podcast, we only represent products we believe in. As you've heard over the past year plus, we've been running our Walton's commercial. I've been using Walton's products for a long time now, and let me tell you, they're some of the best seasonings I've ever used. One of my staples to make at my house are pork chops, and their Ultimate Pork Chop and Roast Rub has gotten more compliments than anything that I've ever used. For burgers, their Better Burger seasoning is delicious, and I only use that on my burgers. Again, tons of compliments. They have all kind of seasonings that you can imagine. They have barbecue sauce and the thick kind, not the watery kind at all. If you're into wild game, they have seasons and rubs for that as well. Don't forget their line of sausage casings and all the tools to make your own meat products, from sausage and jerky to grinders and more. Walton's really is a one-stop shop for everything but the meat. If you like tips and tricks and videos on how to do a whole lot of things when it comes to cooking, then you should go to www.meatgistics.com. Go to www.waltonsinc.com today and start shopping, and tell them the Ranger Report podcast sent you. Walton's, everything but the meat.
This is Bruce Bochy, and you're listening to the Ranger Report.
The Ranger Report. Yeah, the Ranger Report. Inside scoop. Listen to the Ranger Report. Oh, here we go.
This is the Ranger Report podcast. News, insights, predictions, interviews, and information about the World Series champion Texas Rangers, from the major leagues to the minor leagues. And now, here are your hosts, Ben Dieter, Tyler Nielsen, and CJ Berryman.
Welcome to the Ranger Report podcast. I am Ben Dieter. That is CJ Berryman. Down there is Tyler Nielsen, if you're watching the video, which we will get back on YouTube again. We haven't put a few up, but I've got most of them edited, so all these will wind up on YouTube again. Of course, we are on the Fans First Sports Network, your Rangers coverage for the majors and the minors on the Fans First Sports Network. As always, brought to you by Walton's. Walton's, everything but the meat. And Dallas Sports Nation. And we come to you on the Comfort Air Online Studio. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Can't complain.
Got a win and went 2-for-3. So we took the series.
Yep.
Let's not talk about the Cowboys draft, because...
No,
me and Tyler would go back and forth and probably F-bomb each other about 15 times about it.
Yeah,
but, I mean, it is what it is.
Well, the reason we're doing a show on Sunday instead of Thursday was because we know that all you guys were focused on the NFL draft, which I'm perfectly fine with, but we figured we put the show out after the draft ended and the Rangers finished this series with the Reds. Now we're putting out the show so you guys can listen to it on your way to work on Monday, or, you know, whenever you'd like to. But anyway, we thought the draft probably was going to take precedence this weekend, so we didn't see a need to jump in there and try to do a show on Thursday and force it out. And no one's going to listen to it till Sunday night or Monday anyway, so we figured we would just put it out and on Sunday night.
It gave me and Tyler a break. How many text messages did we send each other?
Tyler? I think it was all three of us. We kept on texting.
I got bombed in that thread for a while.
Yeah, Thursday was a lot of texting. So
yeah.
Anyways,
Thursday, Friday,
for those of you that
Saturday,
don't know,
Saturday we chilled out. But
for those of you that don't know, I'm a Denver Broncos fan, but I'm not a huge NFL fan. I haven't been for years now. Just don't keep up with it all that much. So I wasn't really paying attention to the draft, except for the 438 texts I got from you two knuckleheads. So.
Hey man,
that's funny.
That's the cost of being our friend.
Yeah, well, hey, I didn't complain about it.
Funny because CJ was like, hey, how about we start our own thread, just me and you? And
yeah,
he's like, get back on another thing. And then I text it again on the damn other thread.
Tyler goes, oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. That was funny.
Benjamin Franklin. Sorry, Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, that was
sorry, funny. Benjamin Franklin.
All right, anyway, let's start with our week in review, as the Rangers had a couple of series going on this week. Back home, finally. And we'll start with the most recent one, the Reds, and we'll start with today's game. Somebody finally got his first major league home run, although it wasn't really traditional.
Yeah, it was honestly one of the coolest things that I've seen in my baseball life, which spans 40 years. I'm 39 years old. Do the math. And Josh Smith did it in 2021 as well. But 2021 was a wash rebuild season. You know, you just wash that one away. So, you know, with all due respect to Josh, his first big league homer was not as much anticipated as Wyatt Langford's was. And yeah, he put a drive to it. And I think he thought off the bat that it was going to end up in the bullpen. But it didn't. And
well, had it been 2 feet to the left, it would have.
Yeah. And so he, it's funny watching him run too, because he looks slow.
Yeah.
But he's not. He's covering a hell of a lot of ground.
Well, what is he, 0.1 second slower than De La Cruz?
Yeah. He's not far behind. And so once that caromed off the wall, in both the, essentially both the center fielder and right fielder got tied up.
Yeah.
With the way it caromed off, it's like, all right, this is going to be his first homer. Because once he reached third, and you knew Beasley's going, he's go.
Well, yeah, when it bounced to the right and the right fielder was running to the left, I thought, okay, this is going to be his first homer. Yep. And there wasn't even a throw. Like that's how far ahead of it he was.
No, yeah,
there wasn't even a throw.
What do you think, Tyler?
Yeah. It's funny y'all talking about his speed. As CJ, you mentioned that he doesn't look fast. So I was watching the post game. I don't know if y'all got to watch any of it. But when he first hit the ball, he was basically jogging out of the box. They showed his speed from home plate to home plate. Y'all take a guess of how fast he ran from home plate to home plate.
How long it took?
How long it took him to reach home plate from the time he left the box, even jogging out of the box.
I don't remember.
14
I
heard it. Seconds.
15.2 seconds.
Okay. 15.2. And that's with jogging out of the box.
And they were saying, just think if he wasn't jogging out of the box, you could take easily a second off of that. So another thing about his first home run, you knew it was coming. It was in time. He almost hit the home run the other night off of, who are we playing?
Seattle.
He hit right off the top of the wall.
When the dirt gremlin got him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I didn't think his first home run would come as an inside the park home run. I don't think any of us would have said that. But hey, he finally got off his back. Another thing that's good about that situation is you ain't got to negotiate with the fan. You ain't got to give up any of your equipment. You ain't got to give up bats or jerseys to sign. That ball's already in play. So he got tossed right back in the dugout. He got his first home run ball. And Langford's
by the end of the inning.
Yeah, Langford's starting to come around. And so we've seen the past few games, he's actually going to the opposite field more, I've noticed, and he's a lot more patient at the plate than I thought the player would be coming into the season. So,
yeah,
it was good to see. The game today was good, taking a series, good sign for the Rangers. And go ahead, CJ.
Just to follow up on that, and it's this: he actually leads the league in a stat that's bad, but it's not his fault. Most called strike against.
Yeah,
balls that are balls.
Yep.
Balls outside the zone.
Mm.
And that's happening to a rookie, a guy that didn't even have 200 plate appearances in the minors. You would imagine that would fuck with your head a little bit in the batter's box. And they're calling an Angel Hernandez started the shit, but we're not going to get into him. We'll talk about an umpire here in a minute. But for him to maintain his composure, even though strikes are being called that are not strikes and he knows it, you'd imagine it would fluster and screw with him, but I mean, he stayed patient, stayed to his approach, Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of calls, like you said, that have been missed, and we can go against umpires all we want. I noticed they like to call the strikes that are balls on the outside, especially that are about 6 inches away from him. They like to pitch him outside, and pitchers are adjusting to that, if you notice.
Yeah, they were doing that today, all day, trying to get that outside call.
Yeah, you throw it about 6 inches off, and you know, as we've seen throughout the season, it's been called a strike, and that's a tough pitch to hit for any hitter in the league. And he's going to make adjustments. You know what? We're only 30 games into this year, and Wyatt Langford's going to be just fine. As we know, he's the number 4 overall prospect for a reason.
Yeah, that is true.
I was worried about a rough beginning with him, and and having to get sent back down. But you know what? Nope. Ride it. Because he's he's mentally tough enough, obviously physically gifted enough.
One more thing about Langford. Let's talk about the hell of a catch he made the other night in left field.
Yes. Made that look easy.
Yeah, he did. He had to turn around the other way. That was a tough catch.
That was a good catch.
Going up about, 6 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. No, but he did look good. So the Rangers stopped their skid basically of losing series. They lost two in a row to the Braves and to the Mariners. So they stopped that skid. And everybody out there, I'm sure you understand, but the Braves, the Mariners, the Tigers, and the Reds are all above 500, all good teams. So for the Rangers to come out still in first place or still, hovering around 500 and right behind the Mariners right now, but still be there after all that. That's a win. Of course we want them to do better, but they're playing real competition. They're not playing, teams like the Astros, who can't win a baseball game. They're playing good teams. So, I was going to say the Royals, but they're in first place, so I can't say that anymore. So, they're playing good competition. They have Washington coming up. So anyway, that Red series was impressive. That 2-1 win was very impressive. Semien hit the game running home run, and even the loss for Davis Wenzel and the team to come back like they did in the ninth inning, I felt like that set the tone for today's game.
You kind of did. And I can't remember who it was that wrote about it. It was on Dallas Sports Nation. Was it you or Kane that said, did the offense in the ninth inning yesterday give the Rangers an offensive spark?
It was Kane. Yeah, that was Kane.
So, good job, Kane. Apparently it did.
Well, they had back-to-back four-run innings, the ninth inning last night and the first inning today. So
and then that's all they needed today, and you kind of wanted to see them, put the foot on the gas and go, but with the way the offense has been scuffling a little bit lately, wasn't really surprised. And the Reds are a good team too. They're above 500. They're contending in their own division. So, eight runs in two innings. And to start off, you get first the Adolis Garcia piss rocket that he hit.
That was a line drive.
What a catch by the fan too, huh?
Yeah. That had to hurt a little bit. You think?
Oh, it had to.
It had to sting. Man, talk about that too. That's kind of there's a couple things that were kind of overwhelmed by the Wyatt Langford fireworks that we saw.
Yeah.
One was Adolis Garcia's 2-run homer to give the Rangers lead and kind of let everybody relax. Number two, what a job Dane Dunning did today.
Yeah.
We do need to talk about the Reds. He had the Reds looking silly. He only went 5 1/3 and we've learned our lesson. We're not going to question four-time World Series manager and the one that brought us our first World Series title ever. Yeah. However, I will say at 69 pitches in the fifth inning after striking out 10, that was a little surprising. What do y'all think?
I think he didn't want him to go through the lineup for the third time because they're such a good hitting team. I think that's why he pulled them. But I don't know. Like you said, at the time, I was, I don't know why that's going on, but I trust Bochy. We won the game. So,
yeah, it goes back to what Ben said. I kind of agree. I do agree with what he said. I don't think he wanted to face him through the third time through the lineup. And it was one of those situations that I think it was you get that final strikeout. Dane Dunning didn't have his last outing was not good at all. Let's just be honest.
It was okay.
And it wasn't a Dane. Yeah. But, let him go off a mound. And the way our bullpen has been pitching lately, which we were going to talk about, you have all the faith in the world with that bullpen right now. So handing the ball off to them, I think Bochy felt comfortable. And in the end, it all worked out.
For sure. For sure it did. So I'm not going to give Bochy I'm not going to give him a pass if things go terribly wrong, but we still won the game. So I feel like that was not the end of the world. I feel like that Bochy had his reasons why he did it. So I'm not going to lose any sleep or be upset about it. The Rangers wound up winning the game, even though it got a whole lot closer after Dunning came out. So,
right. Is CJ still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You're just frozen on the screen. So I'll just make sure.
Camera went out. So
yeah, I was going to say you're frozen, but we can still hear you. You got such a great expression on your face too. So
I'm just blacked out on my screen. So
you'll like it when you see the video on YouTube.
Oh, wonderful.
I think I'll zoom into just you during this part.
That's got to be the picture on on YouTube.
That's right, got to be the thumbnail. That's got to be the thumbnail for sure.
Go ahead. I've got humility. I don't give a shit. Make fun of me.
So the Rangers came out of that week losing 2 out of 3 to Seattle, 2 out of 3 to the Braves, and winning 2 out of 3 to Cincinnati. So again, like we said, they're doing just fine. I mean, we said before the season, and so did a lot of other professionals, they just need to tread water for this first month and a half. I mean, Scherzer, we got to talk about that, right? Scherzer had a rehab start, and it was an important rehab start, and he didn't do terrible. He actually did pretty well. So Tyler, you know, I mean, we didn't expect Scherzer to be throwing in games in April.
No, we didn't. From the talks and everything we had heard about the rumors and stuff, he wasn't supposed to be back to the end of June, I believe. It's from the offseason, what they were saying. And all of a sudden now you see him, and I think he threw 50 or 60 pitches in his 52. First.
Yeah, he threw 52 pitches.
I mean, that's ridiculous. That's unbelievable. And I think he's going to have maybe one or two more rehab starts from what I'm hearing. And then
his next one will be in Frisco.
Yeah, and the way he's talking, he's ready to go right now. But
yeah,
like I said, and Bochy and all them came out, and we've already talked about this. He already said that, you know, we're not rushing this deal. You know, as a lot of Ranger fans might look at this and be like, oh, they're being stupid with this or rushing them. They're like, by any means, we're taking it as slow as we can with him right now, and he's still ready to go. I mean,
He wanted to be back, you know, at the beginning of the season, and they didn't let him. So
they just said his body responded so well after the surgery that everything is gone according to plan, but better, you know. So that's a good sign. And, you know, that's just another key piece to add to this team, you know, and we've hovered over about 500 all year. So that's all we can ask for.
CJ, we were talking about Scherzer's rehab start.
I could hear it. But anyway, everybody's going to look at the stat line and be like, oh, he sucked. We don't give a shit about the stat.
No, that's a spring training start. It doesn't matter.
It's a spring training start. He needed to be out there and get the pitches in, which he did. And so let him ramp up and let him tell you when he's ready. Just listen to him, because like y'all just mentioned, he was – damn sure not supposed to be back by now.
No, not at all.
Not even close.
No.
Yet Dr. Keith Meister, man, surgical wizard, whatever he did, Scherzer feels great, and we might be seeing him sooner, but we will be seeing
him. Yeah, we will be seeing him
sooner rather
than probably later. Two more rehab starts before he comes back. And then he'll be back in the Rangers rotation. And I'll tell you who I wouldn't send down, or who I wouldn't send to the bullpen. That's Dane Dunning.
Nope.
All right, definitely not.
It'll be Heaney.
Yeah, it will be. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, more on the Comfort Air Online Studio Ranger Report podcast.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ranger Report podcast on the Comfort Air Online Studio. We are going to mention something that we decided today. CJ actually decided, and we went with it, that we're always bashing these guys. But today, CJ, the umpires actually did a pretty good job.
Paul Clemens, that was textbook. The way send all umpires into refresher training session, whatever the case may be. It wouldn't apply to Angel Hernandez because he should be umping t-ball games, because that way he don't call any damn balls or strikes, which I'm sure he'd find a way to fuck that up.
He would.
But anyway, Paul Clemens today behind the plate was awesome. I mean, there's maybe one or two questionable balls or strikes that you could say, but those were pitches that you could say, go either way on. He was very consistent both sides. So shout out to Paul Clemens, because that is how umpiring should be.
You know,
right there.
You know, I know the umpiring hasn't been good this year is when I'm sympathizing for the Yankees manager. That's when you know. That's when you know.
When Boone got tossed, oh my god!
That's what I'm saying. Like when you're sympathizing, like thinking that was ridiculous, and it's the Yankees, then you know things are going bad.
Yeah.
Well, I probably think Paul Clemens was on his A game. He probably got some of that, some of those quotes and media sent to him from what Max Scherzer had said about the umpiring and how they need to. And coming in this series, I'm not saying Paul Clemens isn't a good umpire by any means, but yes, today was a good called game, CJ. Yeah. You make a good point. It's been pretty horrendous, as we know, all year.
All around the league. Yeah.
And it's been the Rangers. Yeah, it's been all the league.
I mean, the game with Angel Hernandez, I was already expecting that coming into the game. It wasn't nothing surprising. But then when it did happen, it was like, oh my gosh, still.
What's sad, Tyler, is even us expecting it.
I know.
It got even more ridiculous.
I mean, you know it's bad when you hear a name of the umpiring crew and the whole country groans. Like, you know it's bad. You know it's bad.
That's a problem. Happens. It's a.
Yeah. And I was reading an article about Angel Hernandez, and they were like, he is the nicest person you would ever meet and all this stuff. And I was like, I can care less how nice the guy is. He's a terrible umpire.
Nothing against him personally, but
no, I mean, he doesn't do his job well, and that most people get fired when they don't do their job well. But umpires do not, because first of all, they don't pay them enough, and second of all, they have immunity basically. They're not going to get rid of them. So
very, very, very strong.
Yeah,
umpires union, very strong.
All right. Speaking of things that are very strong, you like that transition? We want to talk a little bit about the bullpen, which. Surprisingly, CJ, why don't you start us off with one Jose Leclerc?
Jose Leclerc, y'all. For whatever reason, we've talked about it. He just does not start off the season well. Don't know why. So, Bochy didn't mess around. I mean, he put him in some lower leverage situations. And when you look, pulling it up here, at his last 5 games, 0 earned runs, and 8 strikeouts in 6 innings.
That's pretty good.
So,
how many walks are you having that spin?
3. So
walks still a little high.
Yeah. Walks are still a little high, but he's kind of gotten back to himself. That cut change, which it always shows up, no matter what station you're watching, is a slider. It's not. It's a cut change for whatever reason. The way he holds the ball, the way he releases it, he's got a regular changeup, and then the cut change, which is slider, and it's filthy. And makes people look stupid when he's on. So that's good to see. And but continuing with the bullpen, we can't after today's game, especially David Robertson. What a signing.
And all of us
respectively have not given Robinson enough credit for how flexible he's been.
Yeah.
No matter where it is, whatever high leverage situation, whether it's the 5th.
Yeah.
The 7th, the 8th,
the 9th,
the 6th, the 9th, whatever.
Yep.
Whatever, he's able to come in, and he's not used to pitching multiple innings. Usually it's one inning and done, but I guess when the Rangers signed him, Bochy and the pitching coaches said, you're going to have to, you know, under Bochy, go a little longer than just one inning. So what a job he did today. He looked filthy as well.
And I think those pickups to me have to do with the fact that our GM is a former major league pitcher. I think that has a lot to do with that.
They were in the league together.
That's what I'm saying. I think Robertson knows.
And Chris Young were still.
No offense to your least favorite GM, John Daniels, but I think when it comes to picking talent, I think that Chris Young is better at it.
Right.
Especially bullpen pitching talent.
I don't necessarily agree that they met with Robertson and his agent during the offseason and said, hey, we're going to make you throw, or, you know, that situation where you're going to have to throw multiple innings. I don't think that was a situation. I think this year it's been about injuries. Once the injuries popped up, I think it kind of came to the point where Robertson has to pitch these extra innings, which he's done, and he shows he can do. You know, we talked about Hader and all that stuff, but look what we've got out of that, you know, saving that money. We actually signed Robertson. We signed Kirby Yates. And we've got
Lorenzen
out of the thing for still saved, didn't pay as much as what Hader got for the Astros.
Close.
And Hader is not having a good year so far. Nope. Hader is not having a good year so far. But anyway, yeah. So Robertson and Yates definitely, I mean, great pickup. And here's the deal with Josh Spores. He had a little rough today, but here's the deal with him. And I'm going to be honest with you guys 100%. I don't care if he's good or not. He's still one of my favorite pitchers of all time for the Rangers because of the glove spike after he threw the final pitch for our very first World Series.
I'm not worried about him. He'll be fine. I mean,
no. And Sporzy is—he's up and down. He always is. He's gonna have bad games as long as he is ready in October. I'm okay with him blowing a game or two during the season.
Well, it's funny we say that. He just came back off injury too.
Yeah, and so, it's not like he pitched terrible today.
No, he didn't, and he still has a zero ERA.
Yeah. Yeah, so, he does. Yeah. Today's run was unearned. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Thanks, Corey Seager, which would have been a fantastic play, to be honest.
It would have been a fantastic play. That is true.
But all he had to do was make the throw and not make it actually hit Nathaniel Lowe right in the gut. In
the chest. Yeah, it did. Right in the gut.
Right.
Which I felt bad for Lowe. Yeah. Just, yeah. And
you could see him grimace.
and with De La Cruz on the bases, that's a run. It doesn't matter. No way to stop him ball
hit. Dela Cruz is so damn fast.
You got Dela Cruz and you have India in India.
Yeah.
You see what he did in the ninth. That was a hell of a steal there.
It was.
That was a damn good steal. I thought his hand did come off the bag at first, but once I reviewed it, I was like, you know what? I think they're going to overturn this, which they did. But as we saw, you know, we're talking about the pin.
Yeah,
Kirby Yates, man, has been lights out. What has it been, 13 innings to start the year, giving up no earned runs? And
Another zero
today.
Yep. Putting up goose eggs, man, and that's all you can ask for. He comes in, and like I've mentioned previously, he doesn't show a lot of emotion, but he just gets the job done. And it's been paying dividends for the Rangers so far.
Yeah, and then you got the young guys, Jake Ladd, Cole Wynn, you know, that are coming
up. Jake Ladd's guys.
They are producing. They are doing their job.
One inning for Lats tonight in the eighth inning. Bochy put him in a high leverage spot up one run, and he threw less than 10 pitches. I'm going to look and see exactly.
Well, we've talked about before, Lats and Wynn are basically the right and left-handed versions of each other.
Yeah.
So people are starting to see what we're talking about now.
Eight pitches, six strikes.
Yeah. So you've got a nice mix this year of young guys and veterans. And I mean, Bochy, he really is a genius when it comes to working the bullpen. He really is. Like I said, and one of the reasons I think he pulled Dunning so early today is because some of these guys needed work and he had to get them in the game. So I think that was also part of it. But anyway, it was good. And again, Yates and Robertson, what brilliant pickups for this bullpen.
Yeah, the bullpen has been a blessing in disguise. I mean, they're essentially coming off what the World Series run was and carried it over into this regular season. And we still thought the bullpen was going to be a problem this year. Thus far, been pretty damn good. And I would like to actually transition a little bit before we close up to how awesome is it to have Nathaniel Lowe back?
Dude, I'll tell you what. I mean, I liked Jared Walsh, but he's not Nathaniel Lowe. He is not Nathaniel Lowe.
No.
Lowe has has a hit in every game since he's been back.
I'm glad you mentioned that, CJ. I was just about to point that out. I was like, let's talk about Lowe real quick because, it's just good having the guy back, you know, always smiling and the way he plays the game, you know.
He's just house guy. I mean, everything.
Just the way he plays the game and, you know, he comes in and being off that long and it's just one of those deals. He comes in and looks like he hadn't missed a beat, you know. He just comes in and just goes up to the plate, makes hits, you know. I think he's definitely very underrated as a defensive player. I think he's one of the most underrated players, in my opinion, at his position at first.
Period.
But that's – people could say I'm biased. I'm a Ranger fan. But look what he does. There's a lot of plays that he makes, and the pitchers know it. So
Yep, you are exactly right.
One thing I love about Lowe, being a left-handed hitter, I hit lefty. I swing lefty, whatever. We love the ball inside and low inside. We love that. But low goes up there. He's just going to go with the pitch.
Which he does.
Opposite field. I mean, we've talked about this for since he got here in 2021. His defense was horrible in 2021. So we thought maybe he, maybe his position's going to be DH unless he finds a way to somehow get astronomically better at first base.
Well, and he did.
Gold glove last year.
He did.
So, but his ability to just take the pitch and yeah. drive it where, if it looks good, drive it where it's coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, his hits to left fielder. Smooth, like yeah. you said. He just okay. He just, they're going to throw me outside. I'll just take it the other way.
Nice,
right? And another thing about Lowe, we got spoiled last year watching the guy, as the All-Star game came around. We had the left side was all completely full. I wouldn't say the whole left side because the shift is in play now. But Lowe should have been part of the All-Star game as well, in my opinion.
Yeah,
but well, put that many right because
they couldn't.
At one point, you had what. Young at third, you had Seager at short,
Uvalde, Simeon, and then you had Jonah Heim behind the plate.
And then you had Adolis in the outfield.
Adolis in right field, Jonah Heim behind the plate, and they were talking to Uvalde in the air before that inning started.
Yeah.
And they were like, "What? How do you feel?" And he goes, "I feel comfortable.
It's like a regular game.
Defense is out here."
Exactly. Well,
I mean, you look at that. I mean, that was the team that won the World Series. So it makes sense that they had that many people in the All-Star game,
True.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I want to do what the tweet real quick.
Yes.
Hold on. Before we do that, I was just going to look forward. We got the Washington Nationals coming up. Nationals are not great this year. They're not terrible, I don't think. Let me look real quick before we move on to what
they're scuffling
tweet.
Right now.
Yeah, but let's see what their record is. They are 13-14, so they're not terrible, but they are definitely having some difficulties at the moment. So technically, the Rangers should take 2 out of 3 from this series, if not sweep it. But it just depends which offense shows up, and that's the thing that scares me. We're hovering right around 500, and our offense isn't even good yet. Like once these guys click, it's going to be something else.
Wait till Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford get hot.
Yeah,
and you're starting to see that.
And yeah. Leody has had what a hit in 6 of his last 8. So
speaking of what the tweet, I've seen so many tweets about getting rid of him that it just cracks me up. Anyway, go ahead with what the tweet.
All right. Are y'all ready for this one? So this was posted. This was on the tweet. It was about a week ago.
Tyler froze right as he went to tell
Tyler freezes. That's it. Take a picture of him now.
Yeah, now I need to take a picture of him. That's a good expression there too. So
back at you, dickhead, Tyler.
There you go. We lost Tyler. I saw one that cracked me up. I don't know if I can remember what it was now. Oh, it was about a person tweeted about sending Corey Seager down because of how bad he's.
But this was the funny thing. Being a troll.
No. This was the funny thing. He said, "I was just venting some frustration and making a joke." He said, "I didn't think this tweet would blow up like this. Now I feel like an idiot." So at least he was self-aware about how stupid this tweet was.
At least he walked it back.
He was like, "I was being an idiot and I was mad and I shouldn't have done that." Anyway, Tyler, you're back now.
Am I back? Okay, sorry. I pulled it up on my. I screenshotted the thing, so when I had to go look at it again. So this was posted about a week ago. It said, "The Astros need to go 83-53, which is a .610 winning percent, to finish the season with 90 wins to possibly make the playoffs. Their season is on life support, and it's only April."
And we love it.
Did you guys see the? Did you guys see the tweet about showing the AL West family?
Oh yeah.
Had a big Astros jersey holding hands with all the little ones. It said 2017. Then it said 2024. It had all of the other teams with big jerseys and the Astros with a teeny tiny jersey in the middle.
That's hilarious.
They're all holding hands and shit.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, again, when the A's are 3 games above you, you're having a bad year.
Speaking of, when we got on here, the Mariners were getting beat 3-2. Do y'all have a final on that game?
I can look real quick, but yeah, the Rangers are they're not in first place still, which is fine. It's only April, but they're right there. So,
well, I think if the Mariners got beat,
the D-backs beat them 3-2.
Yeah. So that should put us back in first, right?
No, it doesn't.
No, we're still half.
Because we have, they're 15-13. We're 15-14. So we're a half game behind them. So yeah, we're a half game out.
Yeah. And it's probably stupid on my part to already start being that fan that is already standing watching.
Oakland is in third.
Oakland's a scrappy. I mean,
Oakland's in third. The Angels are in fourth, and then bringing up the rear.
And we, the Astros.
The 19 Astros.
Hey, so, but at least they're Oakland, not the Chicago White Sox.
Oakland's going to be.
Oh, that is freaking horrendous. What are they still at three wins?
No, they won three finally. They're 6-22.
Did y'all see that their first base coach refused to even come out to the game?
I did.
But I didn't see that.
Yes. This was about a week ago, Tyler. The fan, there's nobody in the stands. Nobody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the White Sox go out there on defense. Or I'm sorry, on offense, and everybody's like, "Where's the first base coach?"
He was probably drunk down in the dugout.
Probably didn't even know they had a game. I'm done with this shit.
He like boycotted the damn game.
Yeah,
he's like, "I'm not going back out there." So they were like,
"Yeah,
who anybody here in the dugout? Go out there and be the first
base It's bad. Coach. It's bad, man. It's bad."
Well, speaking of, you were talking about the White Sox having no fans. I actually have been to that stadium. I went and watched Parker pitch when he pitched for the Angels. And I kid you not, the attendance was probably, and I'm being generous here when I say this, there might have been 1,000 fans that were there.
Yeah.
And that's spread out through a big baseball. You know, of course, when they show it on the Jumbotron or the big screen out in the outfield, it showed today's attendance was 12,000.
Those were paid tickets.
But out of all those fans that were there, they weren't there for the White Sox. They were there to see Shohei Ohtani. It was all Angel jerseys and stuff and Mike Trout. And I asked a White Sox fan, I was like, is it like this every game for y'all? And he was like, oh, this is a big crowd. Like, this is actually a decent crowd. And I was like, there's like 1,000 people here. I was like, that's sad. That really is sad.
There's more than that at Frisco Rough Rider games. So.
Yep. Yeah. Frisco packs the house.
They do. All right, boys.
For good reasons. One more thing I do want to say before we get off. We mentioned Cole Winn earlier. That's a guy I do want to see more of because.
Definitely.
He seems to have gotten over whatever the hell it was that's plagued him the last 2 years.
Yep.
He's up in the majors now. 0 ERA in 4 appearances, 6 innings, 7 strikeouts. He had 5 in his last appearance and looked filthy as shit. So,
guys, don't forget, we have our minor league podcast is back again. And speaking of guys we think we'll see in the majors, I think we need to talk about what Jack Leiter's done since being sent back down to AAA.
He was looking forward to going back down and making his next start. Because he's like, I learned a lot.
He did. And it was obvious.
And it's
We'll talk about it on our next minor league podcast. Because he was really good.
Trying to get Tepa to join us tomorrow.
That'll be good.
So we'll see. He's kind of ignoring me right now. But I've been blowing up his phone, so I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Well, he either will or he won't. But either way, we'll have some good stuff to talk about.
He'll come on occasionally, you know, here and there, you know, but not every week or anything like that.
Well, yeah.
Let's go this. You know, we've already had our first minor league podcast, but I want to get his insight on what he's seen thus far in the young minor league season.
And shout out to my boy, Cole Reagans on getting his first major league win the other day. Yep. I don't know if it's first major league win, but
first win this year.
His first win is the Royals. Yep. So there you go.
Yeah, he's been pitching great, but he hadn't pulled off a win yet. So
he can't get no run support.
Not his fault. Yep. Not his fault.
His team is good. I think he's going to wind up with 10 plus wins this year. So
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, the way he's pitched so far. I mean, me and Ben mentioned it a few weeks ago. Maybe.
Yeah, he's been
all-star game.
Yeah, he should.
If he keeps it up.
It's only April.
Maybe. I don't know.
If he keeps pitching like he's pitching, then yes, for sure. He'll be in the conversation anyway. All right. This has been the Ranger Report Podcast, the Major League Edition. We will talk to you guys later on the Minor League Edition. So all three of us wearing the hat today. Look at that. All right. I think it's time to drop.
Salute and deuces.
Thanks for listening to the Ranger Report Podcast. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, and at therangerreport.com.